Welcome to Kicking with KPOC, a podcast about business stories and marketing advice. I'm Jake.
And I'm Morella.
And this is episode 27, Top 7 Digital Marketing Tools to Succeed in Business. Today, Morella and I will be talking about the digital marketing tools we use here at KPOC Marketing and that we recommend that others consider using. And I think we're going to start with Google Analytics.
Oh, yes. Fave.
Yeah. So you want your website to be your hub for your digital marketing. True. That's where you're trying to drive people to with all of your digital marketing campaigns. So you want to know how many people actually visited your website.
Right. And where they came like from. You?
Yeah. So Google Analytics is a great, free, and powerful way to do that. You embed a little bit of code on your website, and then you get tons of information about who's visiting your website.
Yeah, and also if you're running some type of online promotions and you're posting things and links to other places, it helps you track. And I guess you can tell us how that helps you.
Yeah, they have the campaign URL builder, which is just a one-page site you go to and you can punch in like the campaign name, the source, and some other information. And that lets you track where people are coming from to get to your website. So when you share a link on Facebook, mm-hmm. or you share a link elsewhere, you use the URL that Google gives you in that builder. And then in Google Analytics, you can track where you're getting the people from. Did they come from Facebook? Did they come from this blog post that I wrote on another website? And you just get that information by using the URL builder.
Yeah, and you can use that information to decide if you should be doing more or less of a specific activity or promotion that you just did. It helps you gauge the success rate. And the next one up is one of my faves. It's Canva or canva.com. If you're not a super like Adobe Photoshop or Illustrator ninja and you don't have a whole ton of experience with those two programs, then you can use something that's a lot more basic, but still kind of cool, which is Canva, and it's free. You can sign up for an account, and Canva has a whole bunch of templates that you can use to create images or graphics for Facebook, for Instagram, for Twitter, Pinterest. They even have a template for a newsletter, for presentation slides, even like sales letters, anything that's kind of popular and you can think of, they have a template for it. And they also have a lot of images, stock images that you can use. A lot of them are free. Some of them do cost money, and I think most of them are about $1 a piece. You can use emojis. You can use like cool text to add to your graphics. And then if you have a custom graphic, like custom dimensions that you have for a graphic, that's something that you use a lot. You can even create your own custom template in there that you can use over time. And one of the other cool things is that you can share the stuff that you create in Canva with other people in your team. You can send them an email and they can look at it. And I think that they can even edit it. I'm not 100% sure. But once you create something in Canva, you download it and then you can email it. You can upload it to Facebook or whatever the case is. And it's super easy. It's not as powerful as Photoshop. And but it does the job.
Yeah, and I'm not much of a graphics designer, but the one thing that I sometimes use Canva for is making infographics.
Right.
And infographics used to be super popular. They've kind of gone down a little bit in terms of popularity, but that also means it's an opportunity if you want to make some infographics. And an easy way to do it is with Canva, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. So what's next?
Number three, SEMrush. So this is a pretty powerful SEO tool.
Okay.
It can be a little bit pricey. I think it's at least $100 a month, and they have packages even more expensive than that. But you get lots of good data about SEO, both how well your website's doing and also your competitors. You can see how much organic traffic they get roughly, how much paid traffic they get. You can even see that the ads that they're actually running in Google Ads in SEMrush. And you can also get ideas for content. They have a thing where they show you like what sort of questions are popular on the internet out there to get ideas for writing blog posts. So there's a lot of data available there. And if you want a free option, Google also has Google Search Console, or sometimes called Webmaster Tools, where you can get a list of who's linking to your website. You can see what keywords you're ranking for, what position you're in. So if you want a free tool, then Google is probably your way to go. If you want something more powerful where you can also get insights about your competitors, then something like SEMrush is probably a better way to go.
Okay. And then, which brings us to my next sort of fave. It's MailChimp or other email marketing services. And whenever someone calls us and expresses interest in doing digital marketing and really getting serious about, you know, promoting his or her business online, we always ask them if they are collecting people's information, email addresses on their website, if they have an email list, and if not, then why? Mm-hmm. And so everyone should be collecting information from people who come to their website and building an email list. And one of the best tools to do that is MailChimp. It's simple, but also powerful at the same time. And if you have fewer than 2,000 subscribers on your list, then you can use MailChimp for free. And you can send up to 12,000 emails a month with a free account. If you want to send unlimited email messages per month and you have more than 2,000 people, then it's going to cost you some money to use MailChimp. And in MailChimp, you can send out newsletters, you can do kind of one-time messages, or you can set up an email sequence or an email like drip campaign where you can write a whole bunch of messages and schedule them out to be sent at specific times and at like specific intervals. So you can do a lot. It's super powerful for email marketing.
Yeah, the thing I like about MailChimp is it's really easy for someone who hasn't done email marketing that much to get started. But then when you do want to get into a little bit more advanced stuff, they do have segmentation. You can tag people, custom fields, you know, all of the marketing automation stuff you'd want with email marketing. So it's simple, but it's also powerful, and you can add on later on when you decide you want to get, you know, deeper into email marketing.
Yeah. And we're not getting paid to promote MailChimp or anything. It's just something that we use in-house. Some of the other email marketing services that are out there are Constant Contact. There is Infusionsoft. There is AWeber. So if someone has something else that is more up their alley and they like more, it's fine. Most of them do a really good job. Most of them have been around for a while and they have improved their products. So I don't think that it's way better than doing nothing.
Yeah. Anything is better than nothing. Yeah. And we're not getting paid by any of these companies. Right. They're just tools that we've found over the time, gotten recommendations from people. So there's no affiliate thing going on here or anything.
Right. These are just things that will make your life easier. These are things that make our lives easier. And MailChimp is the one that we have chosen to use, but we've used other ones and most of them are just fine.
For sure. So number five, BuzzSumo.
Oh, this is Jake's favorite.
Yeah. And I'm even a little bit late to the party, I think, on BuzzSumo. I just learned about it, you know, relatively recently. Previously, I had used some other tools and also just, you know, manual research. But BuzzSumo is great. You go in and you type keywords in and it shows you the most popular articles that have been shared on social media based on engagement, which is great for a few reasons. Mm-hmm. When you're posting on social media, obviously you want to get engagement. When you get engagement, you get more engagement, it snowballs, and you end up getting people to ultimately do whatever you're trying to do. So by looking in BuzzSumo, you see what has gotten good engagement before, which means that if you share that on your social media profiles, you'll probably get good engagement as well. And another thing you can do is use that as an idea and then go write your own article, maybe on your blog, put your own spin on it, and then you have your own interesting piece of content that you can share, and you'll get engagement, hopefully, on that your social profiles when you share that as well. The only caveat being that if you see something that's done really well, you know, from the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or BuzzFeed, like they have a lot more people following them, so it's easier for them to get engagement. So if you share that or you come up with something similar and share that, you're still not going to get that level of engagement. You have to be realistic based on how many followers you have and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. I mean, technically you could go viral, but realistically you probably won't. Like it's not going to like totally change your life. It's probably going to boost, you know, the engagement that you get from your follower base, but it's not going to turn you into whatever, BuzzFeed or one of those places.
Yeah, it's just a place to get ideas and maybe do a little bit better than you would do otherwise on your own.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next one, I think, is it Trello or getting organized?
Yep.
So I'm one of those people who is super obsessed with making lists and getting organized. And I like to have a calendar. Jake hates calendars that are actually like physical calendars, but I actually have a physical calendar.
I love calendars just in the digital world.
Yeah. But the problem with my fancy calendar is that only I can see it and no one else knows what I'm working on. So we've kind of had to get organized digitally where other people can see what's going on. And some of the project management or task management products that we have used have been, we've used Basecamp, we've used Trello, which is really good for organizing each person's responsibilities or tasks and assigning due dates and deadlines. And then when you log in, you can kind of see what everyone is working on. And it gives everyone a big picture kind of snapshot of what's going on at the company. And then we have kind of taken our situation to the next level and we have moved over to Team Gantt, and which allows you to kind of have more of like, it's kind of like a progress bar look of what's going on, or everyone has like all these tasks and all of these tasks are presented in kind of a way how they are dependent on other tasks. So for example, you have to finish this part in order for me to do my part. So when I log into Gantt, I can see like, okay, Jake is 50% done with his stuff and that his work is due tomorrow. Then tomorrow I will start. And then as I'm working on my stuff, I can put in how many hours I worked on it, what percentage of it is finished. So it's much more like comprehensive way of looking at tasks.
Yeah, I think most people I talk to, Trello or Basecamp is probably the thing that's most suited for them and that people get the most success with in terms of organizing their digital marketing and just other tasks at their business. We use Team Gantt, but that's mostly because we have a lot of medium to larger size projects going on that we need to report to clients about. So if you have something really complicated going on, Gantt charts and stuff like that might be the way to go. But I think Trello, Basecamp, those simpler just like to-do lists are...
Yeah, if it's like routine stuff, like yeah. I just want to see what each one of my team members like daily routine is and what everyone's working on, and Trello or Basecamp are perfect for that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So what's next?
That takes us to the last one. Number seven, Grammarly.
I need this.
Yeah. So this helps you make sure that you get your grammar correct and your spelling correct everywhere around the internet where you're typing. So it's a little plugin you install. It works with Chrome, Firefox, maybe other browsers. And when you're typing in WordPress, doing your blog, or if you're in Gmail, writing emails, it's going to correct you along the way. And that's going to make sure that you look smarter on your blog, on your website, talking to clients, talking to customers. It just is looking for, you know, tons of, you know, common mistakes that people make. And it's, you know, giving you that little squiggly line suggestion. And then, you know, oh, I should have used a comma here. I shouldn't use a comma here. A lot of good suggestions. I think they have a premium version that costs some money. The basic version's free and the premium one gives you some advanced suggestions. But I've found that the free version is really powerful enough for me to help me out when I'm writing.
Well, I actually used to rely on Google Docs, and then I realized that Google Docs is kind of stupid. It doesn't really know how to spell some words, and it often says that something is misspelled, but it's not. Sometimes it says that something is correctly spelled, but it's not. So after this, I'm going to install Grammarly in my computer because I don't have it. I just rely on Google Docs, or like if I'm writing a blog post and then I'm like writing in like WordPress and I'm relying on them. So
yeah, I don't know what the technical difference is and how it's programmed, but I feel like when Gmail, like they're just giving you spelling mistakes, but in Grammarly, it's almost like, I don't know if it's using the words around it to determine if that word makes sense in that context.
So it has more of the context. Like Gmail and Google Docs is just like, like, oh, this word is okay, but I don't know if it fits well within what I just wrote.
I don't know, but that's my gut feeling from using it, is that it must be using something a little bit more intelligent to figure out, because it's when you the word is spelled right, it's just the wrong word. Like,
right.
You, like the autocorrect on your phone, like it thinks you're trying to say something different than you're
yeah,
really
like
saying.
Yeah, like good instead of food or whatever.
Yeah, they're both spelled correctly, but only one makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, I definitely need this in my life. So, okay, I'm going to add that to my to-do list.
Okay, add it to Team Gantt or Trello then.
Oh my gosh. No, I don't need any more items on there. So I guess let's wrap it up. Like, how do these tools help people?
Yeah.
Why should people do this?
So how do they help?
Well, I'll speak personally. I think it makes you feel, well, number one, more organized, which in my case makes me feel less anxious. You feel more accomplished because you're seeing things get done, and then you feel like you're contributing to the overall picture, and you start to feel less frustrated. And sometimes if you're in a hot mess situation, you don't know what's going on, you don't know who's working on what, then you start to kind of feel hopeless. And this helps with that. You come in, you know what you should be working on, you know what everyone else is working on, and you kind of feel like, okay, we're all in this together.
Yeah. So can you just unilaterally decide to just use some of these tools yourself?
No. Everyone has to do it if it's going to work. I think earlier I said, like, I like my calendar. I mean, I'm still going to continue to use my calendar on my desk, but if I'm just using that and you're using Trello and then someone else here is using Monday, someone else is using something else, we're all using different things. No one is talking to anyone. We cannot see each other's to-dos. So we feel like we're all like on our own island and there's no point. So everyone has to use it.
Yeah. And it applies to the other tools as well. You know, Google Analytics, BuzzSumo.
Right.
If you don't tell other people about these great tools that you've found, then they're not taking advantage of how they improve the processes at your company. So any tool, you should make sure that everyone knows that it's being used so that if they have a use case for it, then they can use it as well.
Yes, including the people who are in charge of the organization or the owners, the founders, like everyone has to.
They're the most
it.
Important.
Yes, like no one is exempt. Like I would like to be exempt from some of these things, but I can't. If I really want it to work, I have to do it. So people can't be islands. You have to be part of a team and you have to ask for everyone's buy-in.
Yeah. Good management comes from the top down.
That's right. So you just got to do it. Even if you're not going to love all of these tools. I don't love all of these, but I can learn to like them and I can learn to appreciate them. So that's how I'm approaching them.
I love them all.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't know if that's true. But.
So what is there anything else that we should have brought up that we haven't?
No, I think that's it. Just even if you do a couple of these, they will make your life better. So just go out and do it.
Yeah. And with that, I think it's been a great 27th episode. And definitely do feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or comments about anything we talked about today or marketing in general. You can visit us on our website, kickinitwithkpok.com. Or on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as KPOC Marketing. This has been Kicking It with KPOC, brought to you by KPOC Marketing. Thanks for listening. We'll have something just as great for you next time.